Service. Ethics. Advocacy. Welcome to the AICPA Tax Section Podcast. The Tax Center provides guidance, information, and tax practice tools to support the three goals of the AICPA Tax Section Strategic Plan: practice support, professional standards and ethics, and Washington representation. The AICPA Tax Section Podcast is one more source of information on all things tax and tax-related. In this episode, William Stromson, Director of the AICPA Tax Division, will discuss current developments in tax law and practice.
Hello, this is Bill Stromson, a director with the AICPA Tax Team, with the Tax Section Audio Alert for July 2, 2009. This is part of our new series of bi-weekly podcasts to report tax law and tax practice developments to CPAs. These are based on emailed alerts that AICPA Tax Section members receive and that include hot links to the source materials that I'll refer to in this audio version. Please consider joining the Tax Section to take full advantage of our practice alerts. You can join online at aicpa.org/tax. Today I'm going to cover a delay that the IRS has announced for some for foreign bank and financial account reporting, the reports that were due on June 30th. A clarification of the COBRA payments by employers of severed employees, the new cash for clunkers provision to stimulate car sales and help the environment, some pay-fors for healthcare reform that may be targets for tax increases, and some changes in the consolidated return rules, an update on patents, and some miscellaneous cats and dogs. Let's start with the FBAR delay. As you know from prior alerts, June 30th was the date when everyone had to comply with the FBAR rules for reporting foreign bank and financial accounts. The purpose of this whole regime is to curtail U.S. taxpayers from having income overseas in accounts that are earning money, but that money isn't being reported to the IRS and isn't being reported by the taxpayer on the tax return. The IRS has given certain taxpayers until September 23, 2009 to file if they have timely filed all 2008 taxable income with respect to foreign financial accounts and only recently learned about their 2008 FBAR obligation to file their 2008 FBAR according to the instructions and attach a reasonable cause statement explaining why the report is filed late. These taxpayers also need to send a copy of the delinquent FBAR together with a copy of the 2008 tax return by September 23rd to the Philadelphia Offshore Identification Unit, and the address appears at the IRS website. It appears that if the FBAR is filed by September 23rd and the income tax return is on extension and the extended due date is October 15, 2009, and the FBAR is filed between June 30th and September 23rd, a duplicate copy of the income tax return does not have to accompany the FBAR report. The IRS imposes a penalty for failure to file in these situations. Alternatively, IRS personnel have indicated to the AICPA task force that's working on FBAR that a U.S. person who finds it difficult to obtain all the details about foreign financial accounts by June 30th should file the FBAR by that date with best available information and file an amended FBAR when more complete information is available. There are many resources that the AICPA has provided on its website, aicpa.org/tax. There's also a lot of good information on the IRS website, including the addresses for overnight mailing of required reports, telephone numbers, and email addresses at the IRS for those who have questions. At the AICPA Tax Section website, we have client letters, checklists, and other resources related to FBAR compliance. Last year, Congress, as part of dealing with the slumping economy, mandated that employers pay a portion of COBRA coverage, that's continuing health insurance coverage, for employees who are severed. As you probably know, this is extremely expensive for the employee, and to relieve severed employees of this burden, Congress mandated that the employers provide a portion of the payment and then take a credit on their employment tax returns. However, some employers had more in COBRA payments than employment tax liabilities, particularly after they'd slimmed down their ranks. And the IRS has helped to clarify this and other issues in 19 new question and answers that it has on its website. The questions cover eligibility, form preparation, reporting and documentation, and taxability. Cash for clunkers. Sounds good. And the Senate has passed a bill that would allow a rebate of up to $4,500 for trade-in of vehicles with fuel efficiency below 18 miles per gallon. The American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009 also allows a deduction for state sales tax on the purchase of new vehicles. For car purchasers in states without sales taxes, any fees or other taxes imposed by state or local government on new car purchase can be deducted. Car buyers can also receive an additional tax credit of up to $3,000 for purchasing a qualified hybrid vehicle. Together, these three incentives make car buying an attractive option and can help the struggling automobile market. You need to watch if you're in the AMT because there are some of these credits that don't work for AMT purposes. So be sure to review that carefully with your client before the client makes a purchase decision. Basically, the bill provides that car owners will receive a voucher for the purchase price of a more efficient replacement car. The purchaser will save $3,500 if the vehicle that they purchase is at least 4 miles per gallon more efficient. And they'll receive up to $4,500 if it's at least 10 miles per gallon more efficient. Ineligible vehicles include those uninsured for the last year, those not in drivable condition, those older than 25 years, and those with the manufacturer's suggested retail price above $45,000. I guess they think that if you've got a real old car that you haven't been driving and that really is a junker, they aren't going to give you a credit. Or alternatively, if you're driving a Rolls Royce, you wouldn't fit the definition of clunkers very well. President Obama is expected to sign this bill and it would take effect starting in August. So alert your clients, alert your spouse, think about a new car and help the economy. Healthcare pay-fors. As Congress has tried to tackle the difficult problem of providing more universal health care, the big question is how are they going to pay for it? The Congressional Joint Committee on Taxation took a look at some of the health-related tax expenditures for the year 2008 and valued these in a report that it made. This report basically identifies some potential sources of funding for health care reform, so you might look at some of these as targets. I'll cover just a few of the big ones. Employer-sponsored health care. That's $132.7 billion. That's the income on the employer-sponsored health care, that the tax not being paid on the income that taxpayers receive by virtue of the employer paying for their health care. The exclusion of Medicare benefits from income. There's about $40 billion there. The deduction for medical expenses. It's a small number, actually, but remember that you have the 7.5% of AGI cutback before you get to deduct $1, and that comes to $10.7 billion. The self-employed health insurance deduction is $5.2 billion. The tax expenditures listed don't present the full picture. There are also additional tax preferences for charitable contributions to health organizations, private activity bonds for private nonprofit hospitals, and others that are not reflected in this table. The current preferences on health care benefits also reduce payroll taxes by an additional $93.5 billion, and together all the health care expenditures for 2008 came to $287.7 billion. The expected health care reform, we've been hearing figures anywhere from about $750 billion to $2 trillion. So there's going to need to be some money from other places as well. But at least take a look, think about those as good targets because it would be providing health care and also taxing a little more of health care under a new system. The IRS has put out some guidance on intercompany transactions and reporting of income for affiliated groups on consolidated returns. Generally, the consolidated return regs require that intercompany transactions must be collapsed and reported on a single entity basis. However, in certain circumstances, the service has said that you can exercise discretion and they'll grant consent under Regs 1502-13E3 to a consolidated group to treat some or all intercompany transactions other than intercompany transactions with respect to stock or obligations of members of a consolidated group on a separate entity basis. The consent may require a change in accounting method for intercompany transactions for members of a consolidated group. The reference for this, if you have a client in this situation, is RevProc 2009-31. It provides guidance for requesting the consent, a checklist of information required in the application, and the factors which the IRS will consider in weighing the application. The IRS has revoked some outdated guidance on tax-sheltered annuities. Rev Rule 2009-18 lists revenue rulings and notices that are no longer in effect as a result of several statutory provisions related to Section 403B. Tax strategy patents. The AICPA has been a leader and continues to lead in efforts to ban tax strategy patents. As you know, this can cause problems for practitioners who, after they finish coming up with a creative strategy, doing a lot of research, then have to do a second type of research. That's to see if anybody else has already patented this and worry about an infringement complaint or owing a royalty or something. This, we think, is just wrong, and taxpayers ought to be free to take advantage of the tax law without having some entrepreneur who wants to patent it try and take a toll charge along the way. There's some updates in the tax strategy patent area. The Supreme Court granted certiorari in Bilski v. Dahl. This is a case that could determine the standards for patenting business methods, and that would include tax strategy patents. This has caused a little bit of uncertainty because most people had kind of held Bilski in light regard, and so now that the Supreme Court's going to take it up, there's a lot of uncertainty as to how this will finally come out. Also, H.R. 2584 has been introduced to prohibit tax strategy patents. This bill is identical to one that was passed by the House last year and one that was introduced by Senators Baucus and Grassley in the Senate last Congress. More information is available on the AICPA Tax Section website, and we'll keep you informed as we continue to try and help protect practice rights and make practices simple, keep it from being more complex. We have some tax section benefits. There's a series of tax conferences, AICPA tax conferences, that tax section members receive a $100 discount on. These are selected conferences in the tax area, including the Small Business Practitioners Conference in Seattle on July 12th to 14th, the Advanced Estate Planning Conference in San Diego on July 20th to 22nd, the National Tax Conference in Washington, D.C. on October 26th to 27th, and the Sophisticated Tax Planning for Wealthy Clients Conference in New York City on November 16th to 17th. Check these out on the CPA to Biz website and be sure to log in as a tax section member to get your discount. Thanks for listening, and let's get together again in another couple of weeks. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the AICPA Tax Section Podcast. Join the tax section and receive emailed alerts with links to many of the source documents referenced in this podcast. And be sure to tune in next time for even more coverage of all things tax and tax related.
This podcast is designed to provide illustrative information with respect to the subject matter covered and does not represent an official opinion or position of the AICPA. It is provided with the understanding that the AICPA is not engaged in rendering legal, accounting, or other professional services. If such advice or expert assistance is required, the services of a competent professional person should be sought. The AICPA makes no representations, warranties, or guarantees as to, and assumes no responsibility for, the content or application of the material contained herein, and expressly disclaims all liability for such damages arising out of the use of, reference to, or reliance on such material.